You can know for certain that you're a child of God. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Listen, if you're here today and you say, Jeff, I just don't know if I'm chosen. I don't know if God chose me from the foundation of the world. Now, how can that be changed? It can be changed because God knows everything that you do. And today, you can make a decision to give your life to Christ. And you know what you'll find out? If today you make a decision to give your life to Christ, you'll find out that, hey, my name was written before the foundation of the world in the Lamb's Book of Life. Do you know for certain that you belong to Him?
There is truth, there is truth, there is love, there is hope that you always dreamed of. He can heal every scar.
When it comes to salvation, a lot of people view it as a fragile connection to God that at any moment could be snapped. And that's the way many people live out their Christian lives, hoping that they won't somehow lose their salvation because of sins they will inevitably commit. Well, Pastor Jeff Shreve totally rejects the notion that salvation is held by a breakable grip. And today he'll explain from scriptures why he believes that on this edition of From His Heart. The message today is entitled, Good News for God's People, and it's from Pastor Jeff's new series, The Church in the Last Days, which is also our special thank you gift for your support this month. You can find out more at fromhisheart.org. But don't miss the good news we have for you today. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here again is Pastor Jeff with some good news for God's people.
The Apostle Paul founded this church in Thessalonica. Paul had taught them about the return of Christ. He had taught them about the rapture of the church. But then something happened to these people. They were disturbed because somebody came in and said, hey, you Thessalonians, you missed it. You missed the rapture. You probably got some sin in your life. And the Lord says, no, not you. And you missed it. And now you're in the day of the Lord and you're going to experience the wrath of God. And so they were freaked out and they were scared and they needed some good news. Paul gave them good news. Good news for God's people. And it really has to do with this rope of salvation. I really want you to see it not so much as a rope, but as a chain. A chain with four links, four unbreakable links that Paul gives here in the verses that we read. Link number one. The Lord loves us. Those of us who are His children, we can rest in the fact that God loves us. He says in verse 13, we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord. Hey, you are people who are loved by the Lord. So that's the first link in the chain. God loves you. The second link in the chain, good news for God's people. Not only does the Lord love us, but the Lord chose us. It says in verse 13, but we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. The Lord has chosen us. Now that brings up a big question. How does God choose? What is the basis of God's choice? It's a divine choice based on foreknowledge. And when the Bible talks about God choosing, it says He chooses based on His foreknowledge. God is God. He knows everything that's going to happen before it ever happens. God predestines according to what He knows you're going to do. It doesn't mean that God makes you do it. It just means that God knows that you're going to do it. God knows everything in your life because He knows the end from the beginning. He's seen the movie of your life. He knows every decision you're going to make. You know, it's kind of like watching a football game and you've seen the game and you're watching it with another guy who hasn't seen the game. God's already seen the game of life. He knows every decision that every person is ever going to make. And God chooses from the foundation of the world based on His foreknowledge. Remember this. See, if God, some people believe that God just kind of chooses. And it's his divine choice, and it's willy-nilly, so to speak, although they wouldn't use that terminology. But here's the thing that doesn't wash with me. The Lord is not willing, 2 Peter 3:9, he's not willing, he's not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, if God desired all men to be saved, but in eternity past, he says, well, you can be saved, you can't be saved. You can be saved, you can't be saved. Then it would be like, well, I have no choice. I mean, I can't be saved. But he doesn't do it that way. He gives every person the opportunity, and he says, whosoever will may come. And he just knows who will. He knows who will come. Let me give you a great illustration from Scripture, from the lips of Jesus, a parable in Matthew chapter 22. And the parable goes this way. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Those who were invited were unwilling to come. It doesn't say they were unable to come. It says they were unwilling to come. Again, he sent out other slaves saying, tell those who have been invited, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatted livestock are all butchered and everything is ready. Come to the wedding feast. But they paid no attention. They went their way, one to his farm, other to his business. And the rest, they seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. That's obviously speaking of the prophets. Verse 7, but the king was enraged and sent his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. They were not worthy because they didn't come. He said, go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you find there, invite to the wedding feast. And those slaves went out into the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good. And the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. And then he sums up this parable and says this, for many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. And the word called means invited. Many are invited, but few are chosen. And you look at the parable and you say, well, why were just a few chosen? Because the rest who were invited didn't come. They didn't come. That's why the scripture says, whosoever will may come. That's why Revelation chapter 22, the last book of the Bible, it has the word come. The Spirit and the bride say, come. You can come to Jesus. And if you come to Jesus, you know what? You'll find that you were chosen before the foundation of the world. And God chose me. Hey, you know, before God ever created this world, he was looking through one day his telescope of time, and he saw in Houston, Texas, a 17-year-old high school senior named Jeff Shreve. And God saw that boy and heard that boy as watched that boy as he heard the gospel. And he heard about the love. And all of a sudden, as the Lord illumined my eyes and opened my eyes to truth, God saw me in my bedroom on my knees crying out saying, Jesus, would you save me? God saw that before I was ever created, before he ever created anything. And God says, that settles it. That boy is going to be like me because it is predestined that that would happen based on his foreknowledge. Hey, if you want to be chosen, you can be chosen because, know this, God chooses those who want to be chosen. He chooses those who want to be chosen. He chooses those who respond to him. You know, some of you may remember the show Welcome Back, Kotter, and Arnold Horshack. Remember that? Choose me. That's the way every one of us who's a believer, that's what we did when we heard the gospel. We said, choose me. I didn't choose him. He chose me. But he chooses those who want to be chosen. You won't ever find a person in heaven say, well, you know, I didn't really want to come, but I didn't have a choice. He chose me. I couldn't say no. You know, it's irresistible grace. I wanted to resist, but I couldn't. Hey, the rich young ruler had the invitation from Jesus. Sell all you have. Give it to the poor. Come and follow me. And he said no. The Lord loved him. The Bible makes that clear. And the Lord gave him the invitation. Many are invited, but few are chosen because the many who are invited, so many of them say no. Hey, the Lord loves us. That's the first link in the chain. Second link, the Lord chose us. Third link in the chain, in the unbreakable chain, the Lord has given us his Spirit. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation. How does that come about? Through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. Sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. So God, the third link in the chain, is God sends His Spirit to convict our hearts, open our eyes to truth, show us that we're a sinner in need of a Savior. We put our puny little hand of faith in His great big hand of grace, and He pulls us out of the pit of sin. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the water lifted me. Now safe am I. And He does that through His Spirit. And this is the most wonderful thing. The greatest gift you have is the gift of salvation. And what is salvation? See, salvation is not just getting your sins forgiven. That's really, if you get really, really technical, getting your sins forgiven is the precursor to salvation. That makes you ready for salvation. Going to heaven when you die, that's the byproduct of salvation. What salvation really is God coming to live in you. God coming to live in you. And when you receive Christ, He comes into your life through the person of the Holy Spirit, and you're born again. And God, you have the divine nature within you, and God lives inside of you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 says, "What, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your bodies." So it's the Holy Spirit who convicts. And it's the Holy Spirit who converts. And it's the Holy Spirit, when we receive Christ, He comes in through the person of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit starts working on us. Because to be sanctified means to be set apart. It's the Lord doing a process of making you like Himself. He's chipping away all of the rough spots, and He's cleaning you up. And in the way you live. And so as the Lord says, "You shall be holy, for I am holy." Well, that comes about through the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come about through religion. It doesn't come about like the Pharisees tried to do. Just grit their teeth. They said, "Oh, I'm going to try so hard to not think evil thoughts and to do all this right stuff and not the wrong stuff." You can't do that. It doesn't work like that. Because sin is an inside job. And you can't get at the root of sin by working on the outside. You know, if you have, and I tell kids this all the time, I said, when I talk to them about salvation, I said, you know, you can understand when you get dirty, right? When you play in the mud or something like that and your hands are all dirty. What does your mom want you to do when you come inside? Wash your hands. Wash your hands. And if your hands are dirty, you can wash them with soap and water, and the mud, the dirt goes away. What do you do if you have a stain on the inside? A stain of sin on your heart. How do you wash that? That's why the Lord says, "Though you wash yourself with lye and use much soap, yet the stain of your iniquity is before me," declares the Lord. You can't clean yourself up. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And you have to apply the blood by faith and say, "Lord, I come as a wretched sinner. And I come and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me and live inside of me and change me. Make me the person you want me to be." That's what's going on when the Lord sends His Spirit through sanctification by the Spirit. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13, "For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure." We sing that little song sometimes, "Jesus, be Jesus in me. No longer me, but the resurrection power fill me this hour. Jesus, be Jesus in me." See, God really doesn't want you to do anything for Him. He just wants you to yield yourself to Him, and He wants to do things through you. Because that's what gives power to your life, when the Spirit is in charge. So, first link in the chain, the Lord loves us. Second link in the chain, the Lord chose us from the beginning. Third link in the chain, the Lord has given us His Spirit. Now, those first two links are from eternity past. The Spirit working in your life is now. That's in time. And the Spirit works in your life for the end result. And that is, the Lord wants us to share in His glory. And it was for this, verse 14 says, that He called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. To gain the glory. Why all this? Why the choosing? Why the Spirit's working in my life? So that one day, it hasn't happened yet, but one day, so that you and I would experience the glory of God in a place called heaven, so that we would be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. Jesus prayed in his great high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. The Lord wants us to see his glory. He wants us to experience his glory. He says that where I am, there you may be also. He wants us to be there with him. And the Bible says concerning heaven, what eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. You and I, we can't imagine, we can't begin to imagine what God has in store for us. I mean, it's greater. If you let your mind out to the nth degree, you're not even scratching the surface of what is in store for us in glory. John says this, 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Now we are children of God, and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. There is one day that I'm going to be like Jesus. Why? Because he loves me. Because he chose me before the foundation of the world. Because in 1980, the Holy Spirit came to live in my life, and the Spirit is alive and working in me. And one day Jesus is going to come back. He's going to come back in the clouds, and I'm going to be caught up to be with him in the air. And I'm going to be changed. And this perishable will put on imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality, and I will be given a glorified body. And Philippians 3 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. Hey, that is coming for a Christian. And that is good news for God's people. That's what's in store for the believer. So he says in verse 15, so then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, the transmission, not traditions of men, but what has been transmitted to you from the Lord through the apostles, through the prophets. Hold on to those, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. And now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word. Hey, because all this is true and those links are there in the chain and they cannot be broken, you need to stand firm in the truth. You need to hold fast to the teachings of the Word of God. You need to be comforted by the Holy Spirit, who is the divine comforter, and strengthened by the Spirit in every good work and word. Charles Ryrie, he wrote in his commentary on 2 Thessalonians, he said in chapter 2, if you sum up the thrust of this chapter, it's this. Do not be disturbed, for the day of the Lord has not come. When it does come, it will be a terrible time of revealing the power of Satan through his man of sin. But you believers will not experience these awful things, for your prospect is glory, not wrath. In the meantime, however, maintain a strong and stable Christian testimony in every work and word. That's what we're to do. We're to shine for Christ. We're to share his story. We're to let our light so shine among men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who's in heaven. Hey, we live in a great time right now with all the stuff going on with coronavirus, and people are so afraid. We as God's people, we don't need to be afraid. Hey, we can say the Lord is on his throne. The Lord is in charge of my life. There's not one person who's going to die from coronavirus where the Lord says, oh, I didn't expect that to happen. Wow. God's in charge of that. You don't need to be afraid of that. I'm not talking about you don't need to be stupid, but you don't need to be afraid. And we can be such a witness to a lost and dying world because they don't have a Savior to go to. They don't have the rock of their salvation. They don't even have a frayed rope. They have nothing. As One girl whose father was an atheist kept telling her that there is no God, there is no God, there is no God. A Salvation Army worker was witnessing to this girl, telling her, Jesus loves you, Jesus died for you. And the father was working on her. Don't listen to that girl, don't listen to that girl. That Salvation Army worker came to the house to talk to that girl. She was very sick, she was on her deathbed, and she walked into the room or listened by the door, and she heard the father saying to his daughter, honey, they tell me that you're very sick and that you're not going to get better. And he said, honey, I don't want to believe that, so this is what you need to do. You need to just hold on for daddy's sake. And that girl said, daddy, you've taught me there is no God, there is no Jesus, there is no Bible, there is no truth, and now you're telling me to hold on. There is nothing to hold on to. There's nothing to hold on to. Hey, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both steadfast and sure, and one that enters inside the veil. Hey, do you have that hope today? Listen, if you're here today and you say, Jeff, I just don't know if I'm chosen. I don't know if God chose me from the foundation of the world. And how can that be changed? It can be changed because God knows everything that you do. And today you can make a decision to give your life to Christ. And you know what you'll find out? If today you make a decision to give your life to Christ, you'll find out that, hey, my name was written before the foundation of the world in the Lamb's book of life. Do you know for certain that you belong to Him? Hey, God loves you. Saved or lost, God loves you. But He wants to choose you. He's looking for somebody to say, here I am, Lord. As Isaiah said, here I am, Lord. Send me, save me, change me. He wants His Spirit to do a deep work in your life. He wants one day for you to be with Him in glory.
Genuine repentance and belief in Jesus Christ alone for salvation are critical for us all. Have you honestly and truthfully repented of your sin? Is there a time in your life when you can look back before that and realize how far away from God you were? Do you remember the time that you turned from your sin? If you don't remember that, then guess what? Today is the day for you to say, Jesus, have mercy on me, forgive my sin, and save me. And when you do that from a contrite, repentant, surrendered heart, you will be saved, and you will then be a child of God, and no one can pluck you away from that. If you'd like to do that today, we hope that you'll go to our website and click the Why Jesus link to find out exactly what that will mean to you today, and especially for eternity. There are lots of materials there for you to look at, listen to, download, and learn from. It'll get you started on your wonderful journey into eternity with the Lord Jesus. A journey that will bring you peace, even in the struggles, for now and forever. Again, go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus link. Now, when you do that, you will find peace, but the world is having a lot of trouble finding peace because they're looking for peace in all the wrong places. Peace that comes from the Lord is not found in the world. But here's the sad truth. Many of us, even as believers in Jesus, don't experience peace each day like He wants us to experience it. Are you truly experiencing the Lord's peace in your life? You'll learn how to when you get Pastor Jeff's new 8-message series, The Church in the Last Days. Those last days are soon, and God's children need to be prepared with a peace-filled heart. You can get this 8-message series as our gift of thanks for your support from His Heart this month in the format of your choice. Call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or go to fromhisheart.org and request it by name when you make your gift. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping you'll join us next time for a powerful message about powerful prayer. That's when Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open God's Word and share real truth, love, and hope from God's heart, here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more at fromhisheart.org.